Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, folks. I hope you're having as great a day as I am. Just got back from my Thursday morning men's accountability group. I am stoked. Going to take my wife out on the beach here in just a few minutes and get her taken care of before we launch into this holiday weekend. But I'm excited because we are in Chapter 4 of Tom Haupt's book, Time Out. You can go to tomhaupt.com. That's H-A-U-P-T. Tom, H-A-U-P as in Paul, T as in Troy, .com. Pick up a copy of this book. Let me tell you something. This book is well worth it. Anybody that gets this book, goes through every exercise, if it does not work for you, I will buy your book back. Plus, every book that you buy, $5 goes to a wonderful, wonderful charity. You have plenty to choose from over there. This is great. Today's chapter may be the most important chapter. Today you're going to learn something in here that changed my life a year ago. This is called Take a Seat on the Beach, or on the Bench. Yeah, I'm at the beach. Take a Seat on the Bench. Listen to how he opens this up. Your ego has a vested interest in maintaining what you believe to be true about yourself. Your ego. See, most people don't realize their ego is that subconsciousness that's running. I know narcissistic people that believe they are the greatest in the world. And if you try to change their mind, if you show them things, they won't see it. Matter of fact, I've been around enough. It's funny because when you've got such a gigantic ego, it can be positive or negative. But if somebody else says anything about you and you hear those words out of somebody else's mouth, you'll get mad. You can say them about yourself, but let nobody else say them about you. And it's interesting when I see this, because as I read what Tom wrote, it made me dawn on me that it's the ego-driven people that are never present. They're never focused on what's going on. Tom puts it this way: your ego is addicted to your comfort. You build this fantasy world around yourself, kind of like Camelot. And it's like, wow, I live in this utopia, even if it's a negative, nasty utopia. The sad thing, listen to me, folks. You may be a lady listening today who've been in an abusive relationship. Inside of that abusive relationship, what you hear is, I don't deserve to be anywhere else. I don't deserve better. I don't deserve to be focused on this. I deserve the physical, the emotional abuse that I'm going through. That's ego too. Okay, sadly, that's a huge amount of ego. And you can't do that. You have to focus on what he's writing in this book if you're going to make a change. Because Tom says, what if you discovered that when your current belief system is challenged, you as a human being begin to cycle of self-destructiveness? And it's so powerful that it inhibits and deters you from achieving your goals and dreams. I'm going to go back to women. You ladies grow up and you have this dream of marrying the greatest person, your soulmate, your best friend, all this stuff, but yet you let yourself go down and down and down and down. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to grow. But because of that self-destructive ego, because you're in that comfort zone, this is the funny thing about this. You would rather stay in that comfort zone that you're in instead of chasing your dreams and saying, you know, I do. So powerful. I'm not making light of this. It is so powerful that you actually becomes the reality. I've seen this with women that we help inside the sex trafficking arena. I've seen it with my own family members. And it's tough. But it's this thought process that gets inside the brain that cannot differentiate reality from fantasy, so that fantasy, that limiting belief becomes so powerful that we stay. But see, here's the key. The key in having a fulfilled life is recognizing each stage of the cycle as soon as it starts so that you can choose to think, feel, and act differently. See, Tom has got this down and just so that we can understand it. See, we've got to take a minute. We've got to look at this. We've got to realize what we're in. See, this is one of three stages we're going to talk about today. This is called the resentment stage. See, we don't like where we're at. We don't like the people, but we stay where it's at. And Tom's defined the resentment stage. Listen to this. Resentment is a feeling of inadequate displeasure or persistent ill will at something regarded as wrong, an insult, or an injury. We don't like the physical abuse. We don't like the mental abuse. We don't like the rejection from prospects. We don't like to hear the word no. But yet, we have this resentment that's there. When I first went through this, I'm going to share something at the end of this radio show today that I've never shared before. And Tom helped me with this, and I was able to utilize some things in my own belief system that has been great, because I realized there was a lot of times when I was in resentment, it would push me to the next stage that we're going to talk about in a minute. See, I want you to take a second and analyze. If you don't have the book, just take a second and do this for me. Who are you currently experiencing resentment towards? Who is it that you have ill thoughts about? Who is it that's affecting your life and your belief system so bad that it's affecting you? See, this is the sad thing. Most of the time at the resentment stage, the only person that we're hurting is ourselves. Tom writes this, "In life, I believe there is a price and benefit to everything we do." Okay? That's just think about that. There is a price and a benefit to everything that we do. Cause and effect. Sometimes they're big things and we can see it. Sometimes they're small. Most of the time, think about this for a minute. I'm going to go back to the ladies today. Think about this. If you're going through and you're in your house and you're working and that abusive partner that you're with is gone, you're able to let down a little bit. You're able to relax a little bit. Not much, because the house has to be clean. The clothes have to be done. Everything's got to be done. But then as it starts to get towards the end of the day, when you know that they're going to be home and you don't know if they're going to be abusive or not, or you don't know if they're going to be drunk or not, whatever the case is, that angst feeling starts to come up, that nauseous feeling in your stomach, the anxiety. Maybe you're in a relationship, so you rush in and you get a shower and you put all that beautiful perfume on and you get dressed just in a specific way that maybe he won't be so abusive, and yet inside you truly know that it doesn't matter anymore, because no matter how hard you try, it seems to be getting worse. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, this is what we have to... This is the resentment stage. You're exhausted, you're drained, you're stressed. Stress is the largest cause of heart attacks. Women have more heart attacks than men do. High blood pressure. I'd say that's a huge price to pay. See, if you live day by day... Here's how Tom writes this. What if you lived your day operating from less than 100% of your energy? Could you be sabotaging your effectiveness towards completing your goals? That dream that you had of marrying Prince Charming is gone. Being with your soulmate, it's gone. See, resentment displaces your energy and leaves you feeling tired and stressed. That's the tough part about all this. And most of the time, it's because we have this need to always be right. See, a lot of times we look at things that are written only in the pot. Well, yeah, I want to be right. I am right. No, we get into our comfort zone and we say, well, we want to be right. We deserve this. We deserve to feel this way. We deserve to be treated this way. I remember talking to a young girl once, and I said, why do you go through what she was going through? And she said, because the night I came home, I'd had sex for the first time with my boyfriend. She goes, I didn't feel right. I felt strange and confused. But she goes, it got worse when I told my parents I was pregnant. She goes, as soon as I told my parents I was pregnant, my dad just called me a whore from that point forward. I thought, wow. She goes, after a while, Troy, I just decided I'd believe it. That must be what it is. If that's what my dad said, my dad was my confidant. My dad was the one I trusted. My dad was the one that was my protector, and yet he was telling me I was a whore, then I must be. So from that point forward, for a long time, she got out of this phase, but for a long, long time, that was her belief system. I'm no better than this. This is what I am, so I might as well get paid for it. Beautiful, beautiful young girl. But in her mind, she was so resentful towards her dad that she justified her actions by being right. See, this is what's troubling. Maybe you're in a sales organization, a downline. Well, I'm not going to work hard because the company pissed me off, or my upline wouldn't do what I said. He said he'd be there for me in a three-way call, and then he told me I'm on the other line, I can't take your call right now, and he forgot to call me back. So I'm just going to pout, and I'm just going to hurt myself by not going out and talking to anybody. Sometimes this is what we do. Our ego will play tricks on us because it's all about being right. But see, there's a cycle here that we go through. And this is what Tom writes. Just know when you stick to your belief, you are always right about anything you believe. But remember this, it's a choice. And that choice should be weighed against the potential price. Is it more important to be right at the expense of losing a relationship, a job, or an opportunity, your health, your peace of mind? That's what you've got to ask. Sometimes it will be. Sometimes it will be right. Don't get me wrong here, but most of the time if we weigh it, we will find out that it's us. And it's our resentment and it's our need to be right, not the fact that we are right and there's a principle that must be stood on. Most of the time it's just our ego. And if you take yourself off of the autopilot, if you will be present, if you will be focused, if you really want that transformation in your life, then you will start to realize this. If you don't realize it, here's what's going to happen. This becomes a self-destructive thought process. And if you don't catch yourself experiencing the resentment, and recognize the price that you're going to pay, you will start building evidence as to why you're right, and at this point, you drop into the second stage of the cycle called resistance. Definition of resistance is to act or the definition of resistance is an act or instance of exerting force in opposition, and Tom's added so that we can keep this in context, and or the cutting off of communication. Now this is pretty big right here. Okay, this is where relationships start to go south. If someone pushes you, you automatically push back. Here's what women will do. Sometimes men do this, but women are known to do this more than men. Ladies, I'm not picking on you. I want to show something, because what I'm about to say is a two-part word picture that I wanted to see. When women drop into the resistance stage and the communication gets broken off, if they're in a close, romantic, tight, intimate relationship, they will withhold physical affection, sex. Now here's the issue. This becomes a self-sabotaging for the relationship, because the women withhold, then the men start getting resentful. They go into that resistance stage. they stop communicating, and then they try to justify the fact that they went to a strip club or they went to a bar and had an affair or whatever. This is a twofold process. This is something that I've had to learn in talking with couples and working with people. And you may say, Troy, what the heck's this got to do with selling? Not a doggone thing, but relationships, the basic basis of all sales. So listen, when communication is cut off, trust automatically gets cut off. You start into the resistance stage of, I'm going to prove I'm right. I'm going to push back. I'm going to do this. I'm going to show them. They can't push me because I can push harder. That's what we get into. Almost every form of self-defense, almost every form of martial arts is about taking this same pushing effect, this gravitational, you're going to push me, I'm going to push harder. You're going to attack me, I'm going to attack harder. I don't know why they call it self-defense. It should be self-offense. In my studies of the martial arts, I have found one science, one philosophy, one theory of martial arts that's just the opposite. It's called Aikido. And in Aikido, you do not use force against force. You take the force that is applied towards you and you move it into a different direction away from you. It's the only defensive martial arts that I have found. Now, what if you were to apply defense instead of offense at the resistance stage? Men, when you come home and you've had a stressful day and you make it very clear to your significant other, I need some loving, baby. And they resist. Instead of getting in a ticked off, nasty attitude, what if you were to realize what was going on and you start taking the time to find out what her needs are? See, what happens instead of that prospect saying, no, I don't want any, and you saying, well, what the heck are you talking about? You say, man, I can understand where you're coming from. I can hear the passion in your voice. Can you share with me? And we're not going to do a sale, so you don't even have to worry about that, but why? And you start to learn why that person said no, so that the next time you can help somebody else. What if you were to take a different approach? This is what I've had to learn over the last year. See, just like most martial arts have that offensive push against push, guess what? Most sales strategies do too. If any, sales strategies, sales techniques have to do with a defensive. Let's take that force that's coming against us. That no. Let's find out why the no is. No, most of them say, okay, if they say no, if they object, then you've got to come back and you've got to beat the objection. You've got to know what to say. You got to do the Ben Franklin close. You got to do. You know, that isn't what this is about. This is about relationship building. Listen to what Tom writes. In the context of the human experience, when resistance is present, it's usually because someone is not in agreement with our beliefs. Wow. You may be resisting the reality of the situation. And as a result, what usually happens is more resistance. I'll use my past sales experience. Tom and I approach life insurance from a different viewpoint. Tom Hopp has been a professional financial planner most of his adult life, at least the last few years. He's very good at it. He's able to take and create some beautiful financial plans for high net worth clients. Some of that is his ability to be able to use what we call universal life or whole life policies to protect assets. I grew up believing in buy term and invest the difference. Had Tom and I met when I was a rep with Primerica, we might not be as friends, or it would have taken us longer. I still believe we'd have been friends. It would have taken us longer to become friends. Because that role that I played, instead of me going out and trying to tell my client why they were wrong at buying a whole life insurance policy and why they should buy term and invest the difference, I would purposely explain the benefits of what I was sharing, and I would share with them why they should call their agent and ask him specific questions on why he wasn't taking care of them right. And I knew that that would irritate the agent, and he would meet me at the house to try to show them why I couldn't be trusted. Now, I didn't just know I was right. I believed I was right. The reality of the situation, and still is in my mind today, because I didn't go after high net worth clients. I went after average, normal Americans. See, there's a difference in what Tom did and I did. But in this case here, when that agent that had sold them that whole life policy sat down in front of them, I would ask him, to this day I would do that. I never attacked. I would let them attack, and I would use my sales aikido, and I would ask them questions. But what about this? Well, what about that? I always took that defense, not offense, pushback. I never pushed back. Oh, I see what you're saying, but what about this? Okay, based on what you just said on the tax code, but what about this? See, this is where most strategies aren't like that in sales. Most strategies aren't like that in life, because we get into this resistance mode. We're going to be right no matter what the situation is. As Tom Hopp and I have become friends and we've discussed this issue, Tom has articulately shared with me because he knew I was asking the question. You guys know that I'm a follower and believer in Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of different denominations, Christian sects, Jewish sects, different denominations, religions per se, that call themselves Christians. One such organization are the Mormons. And I don't know a lot about Mormonism. I've heard some people say, oh, they're not Christians, and others of them say they are Christians. I know some great Mormon brothers of mine that I just adore. They're just great guys. And one day I was talking to one of them, Mike Duvall, he's a close, close friend of mine. He's like a dad. I said, you know, Mike, in my background as a Christian, I've been told why the Mormon denomination is really a cult. And I don't want to just listen to what other people have to say that are not Mormons. Is there anything that you can send to me so I can learn more from the inside out instead of the outside in? And because I was sincere in wanting to learn more, Mike sent me a lot of stuff that I've been able to study. See, this is the difference when you start to learn that you can't be in resistance. You can't have that resentfulness feeling, because the only people that you're hurting are you. You're not hurting your upline. You're not hurting your boss. You're not hurting anybody. You've got to know. You've got to feel. I challenge you to take a serious look at resistance in your life right now. Where are you currently experiencing it? List five or six ways. What can you do? What are the prices that you are paying? Because if you don't get this right, you want to know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. See, all you have to do is surrender. Tom writes it this way. Surrendering is just simply putting aside your need to be right at the moment because you know the price of resistance is way too high. If you have the need to be right, then staying stuck in resistance will simply set you up for the third stage called revenge. The definition, revenge is to avenge, usually by retaliating in some kind for an injury or an offense. or, if we keep this in context, a perceived injury or an offense. It's an attempt to get even. My husband wants sex, he's not getting it. Just see how many times he can take a cold shower. My upline wants me to go out and hit this new... Well, I'm going to show them I'm not going to do anything. My kids think they can rule the roost. Well, I'm just going to belittle them in public and they won't do a cotton-picking thing. See, this is what happens to us. Or, there's also another side of this. My wife wants a new car. Well, I'm just going to put some demands on her. You're going to do this kind of sex, and you're going to do it this many times a week, or you're not getting a new car. This is a two-way street, and I'm using this because most couples can relate to this. We see this all the time. Sex therapists and marriage counselors talk about this, so I'm using it. It's common denominator here. We got both sides to the deal. But the same thing rings true in business. It rings true in any relationship. When you get to the revenge stage, this is what I went through this the other day, actually, and I don't mind sharing this, but as I was exiting Ignite 360 and I was moving on, you know, I talked with Dennis Tottell, the owner of that company, and just really like him, great guy. But as we got into the bureaucracy of the company, one individual had said, well, I don't see that you're doing anything. Why should I even pay you? And it's like, well, because there's an agreement in place, first of all. But second of all, I'm still doing the same thing I've always done. I am trying to build the brand. But see, sometimes we as people, no matter how good-hearted we are, we get into these stages of resentment or resistance or revenge. Well, if I don't think you're doing what you're doing, if I can't control, then we're going to do it this way or we're going to do it that way. And you cannot let yourself get into there. Most times, revenge can be very subtle. It's not real obvious at first, unless this just becomes something that you do all the time and then everybody around you see it and you still can't see it. See, there's always prices and benefits that have to be paid. As I went through this chapter, I learned something. Resistance. I turned that around, and with resistance comes walk humbly. I wear a band on my arm daily that says walk humbly. The resentment came love mercy. And I wear a band that says love mercy. With revenge, I had to find something to replace it, and I wear a band that says act justly. See, I believe if we can constantly keep things at the forefront, if we keep stuff focused on where we're at, life will change. But it's a lot of hard work, and daily I screw it up and have to remind myself by looking at my bracelets, by looking at reading this book, by focusing on my journal. And I challenge you to do the same thing. This is so passionate, man. These 30 minutes just roll by. I want you to remember, in June, we're going to be starting a new series at an evening time. I'll decide if it's going to be nightly or once a week, called Secrets That Men Keep. We're also going to be doing that streaming live. You're going to love it. Tomorrow, Chapter 5, as we go into the Memorial Day weekend. Ever wonder why you're not starting? Oh, my gosh, this is a great one. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back with me tomorrow right here on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.